Well, Churchill said that democracy is the worst form of government, except for all the others. Ha! Warts and all, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is the best thing going for bold Book of Concord Lutheranism.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, talking about his presentation at the 2026 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
The scriptures are actually true. We confess the ancient Catholic faith. We're the truest of evangelicals. The gospel alone saves. We are not a sect. God's saving acts are still going on in preaching of the word, absolution, baptism, body and blood of Christ, all for forgiveness. From all this comes peace of conscience, joy, and eternal hope. The LCMS is a global force, and I'm going to make the case for it.
You can meet and hear Pastor Matt Harrison making the case for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod at this year's Making the Case Conference, June 12th and 13th, at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor and soul sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your Son Jesus Christ, be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You go.
be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to seek and to save the lost. Graciously open our ears and our hearts to hear his call and to follow him by faith, that we may feast with him forever in his kingdom. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from Hosea, chapters 5 and 6. I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face, and in their distress earnestly seek me. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down, and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us, and on the third day he will raise us up, that we may live before him. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes early away. Therefore I have hewn them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and my judgment goes forth as the light. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th chapter. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Father, before all worlds, God of God, light of light,
seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And from the saints at St. John Lutheran Church in Kendallville, Indiana. What a surprise it must have been for Matthew to receive this call from our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew was a tax collector, and he knew it, and he understood the stigma that went along with it. On one hand, he was hated by his fellow Jews because he would raise the tax rates in order to pocket a little extra for himself. And he was also viewed as a collaborator with these oppressive Romans. Certainly, it seemed like a betrayal, to be sure. But Jesus Christ comes along, the one who is doing these miracles and teaching about the kingdom of God, and calls him. What a surprise. Well, when they get to the house, they recognize that not only is Matthew and Jesus at the house, but also the other sinners and tax collectors and the Pharisees are there as well. Now, the Pharisees, from their point of view, Matthew is a sinner along with the other sinners. Anybody who is not behaving properly, prostitutes, Gentiles, tax collectors, were all considered sinners and therefore outside the fellowship of God. But they didn't look at themselves that way. They thought that somehow the sinners were too evil, too wicked to be inside the grace and the mercy of God, but not themselves. They were obedient to God. They had descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and so somehow, just by their merits and their behavior, they were inside the fellowship of God. Well, wouldn't it be nice to say that all of that has gone by, and that's just in the Bible, and we've, as Christians, have moved on from all of that. The reality is that in our congregations and with the people we see around us in worship and in our congregations and otherwise, we are prone to do the same thing. Although we say with our mouths that God does not desire that anyone should perish, but come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and that the blood of Jesus has washed away the sins of the whole world. Inside our hearts, we look at people who sit beside us and we think, well, I haven't seen them in worship for quite some time. I know that person over there just got through a divorce. Well, that person over there is wearing tattoos and looks so disheveled. They're not like me. I'm an obedient Christian. I go to church every week, and I read the Bible, and I pray, and I have the creeds memorized, and all of that. And so somehow, I'm in with God. I'm within fellowship. Not through Jesus Christ, as we believe and teach and confess, but because of how great I am and because of my obedience. Jesus Christ comes along and he wants to create fellowship, but not by teaching people to be good, not by teaching people to condemn other people, but rather at his own expense. It is very interesting to hear the words of Jesus Christ when he says, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. And what is that work that Jesus has done? Of course, he has come into the world and lived a perfect life in perfect obedience, always being in fellowship with the Father, and always bringing his merits as the Son of God into the situation. And by giving his innocent life, the shedding of his blood on the cross, he has washed away sin. And through the work of the Holy Spirit, he brings life and light through faith, the forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. What is interesting is to wonder who Jesus is speaking to, or perhaps is he speaking to two different groups? Jesus says, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Certainly, Jesus is speaking to all the people gathered there, recognizing that all of us need the forgiveness that is only found in Jesus Christ, and he is speaking to the sinners and the tax collectors and others. But I wonder if here Jesus is also speaking a word of accusation and condemnation toward the Pharisees and their self-righteousness, saying, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." In other words, these people here recognize their need for a savior, but pointing to the sick Pharisees and saying to them, "You don't even recognize that need." But Christ has come for them too. And so through faith in Christ and what he has done for us, we have restored fellowship with God Almighty. He has broken down the barrier of our sin that keeps us out of heaven and has given us fellowship with God once again. The ultimate expression of that fellowship that we have through Christ is something that we will soon celebrate. It was understood that if you went to somebody's house in the time of Jesus and you reclined with them at table, that was an expression of friendship, an intimacy, saying that I am a part of these people and we are in fellowship with one another. So it is when we come to the altar, Holy Communion, to receive Christ's body and blood. We have fellowship with God, and so we come freely and confidently, knowing that this wonderful gift of the body and blood of Christ is not dangerous, but instead it is good, and it is healthy, and it strengthens us in our faith and forgives our sins. There will come a time when this fellowship will be expressed fully, and that is the day that Jesus Christ returns and he completes what he began in our baptism, that we will be taken to heaven and we will see our Savior face to face, and we will shed all of the sinfulness and the brokenness and the separation that there ever was. And there we will be in fellowship at the Lord's table, at his banqueting table, in fellowship with him forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life eternal. Amen. Amen.
We remember SMP student Larry Keim as he prepares for surgery tomorrow to remove his eye to prevent the spread of cancer. Let us pray for the blessing of the Lord Most High on the church and for all people through the world. That God would teach the church to be of good courage, to walk by faith and not by sight, to give the faithful desire for the heavenly dwellings that our Lord Jesus has prepared for us, and to help us always be ready for Christ's return when he will take us to our eternal home. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That God will give to each nation leaders who uphold justice, foster peace, and provide for those in every need, and that God would continue to bless our land with liberty and freedom, so that we might serve him in the ways that he commands. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That God would grant safety and well-being to all children, especially those who live in danger, poverty, and neglect, and that he would sustain all parents, working in them an abiding love for those under their charge, as they rely on them for care and support. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That God would bring healing and strength to those who are ill, especially Larry as he prepares for surgery tomorrow, and comfort and peace to those who mourn. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That God would grant faith to all those who approach his altar this day to receive the life-giving body and blood of his Son. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh,
Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless me, the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen.